When you think of the Salish Sea, the image that first comes to mind probably doesn't include grassy plains and meadows, but in fact, the concept of this shared ecosystem extends to the entire basin of the watershed. An institute on Whidbey Island is working to restore 175 acres of prairie lands that were once farmlands in the center of the Salish Sea. One technique they used was shunned for centuries. You're listening to KNKX, and in this latest installment of our series, Return to the Salish Sea, 88.5 Environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe takes us to the Pacific Rim Institute to meet Chief Executive Officer Robert Pellant.
Help me set the scene here. Where are we?
Well, right now we're on a glacial outwash prairie on Whidbey Island at about 220 feet above sea level, and we're in the middle of what used to be a set of experimental plots with the University of Washington. It has turned into a lovely, diverse native prairie.
I'm sitting on what feels like a firm prairie land, but it's soft. It's a little bit moist. Is this restored?
Well, it's always going to be in process. Humans managed these types of prairies for the last 7,000 to 10,000 years, and humans will continue to need to manage them.
And the key concept here is restoring this prairie habitat to its natural state. So what does that process look like?
That's a very complex process, and I like to explain to people that what we're not attempting to do is like the restoration of an old building to make it look exactly like it looked in 1820 or something like that. We are working to actually build strength, health, and resiliency into the prairie and savanna and forest ecosystems around here. It's actually quite complex. It takes about 3 to 5 years, truly, to go from just a section of land that's abandoned agricultural land and convert it back into and create the conditions so that the native prairie plants have an opportunity to hold ground, hold their ground against invasive weeds. And the loss of fire here was one of the critical, if not the most critical factor in the degradation of our ecosystems.
Interesting. How are the controlled burns part of the restoration process?
Controlled burns are critical because that was a technique that was used for thousands of years. And so the native plants are adapted to the fire, the ash, the char, if you will, and they're adapted to the other changes that that brings. And the invasive plants, typically the weeds that have been introduced in the last 150 to 200 years, are not. And so that gives an automatic advantage right there to the native plants. The native plants respond much better to a burn than the weeds do.
So we're sitting here in the midst of a lush prairie. Was this land burned by you on purpose at some point?
Well, we're sitting right now in one of the areas that we burned on September 30th of last year, and you can see how lush it is. There's a flourishing that happens after the burn. So it's a very healthy, diverse prairie ecosystem right here, right now. But if you would have looked at it end of the day last September, you would have just seen pretty much a charred landscape.
And does it create a lot of smoke, or what does it look like?
It does. It does create a lot of smoke. But we have very great support from all of our neighbors. Never had a complaint. And we have some properties that we're burning up to within 20 feet of their property. The fire is done very professionally. The burns, they back burn. There's all sorts of fire breaks. There's water everywhere. And I've never felt any kind of a concern with the crews we've used.
And what are some of the treasured species that you've brought back here? I see some golden flowers around me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they include the endangered golden paintbrush, which it's a very rare endangered species in Washington, Oregon, and British Columbia. And we are working with U.S. Fish and Wildlife to restore and recover the golden paintbrush populations and also help to eventually get them off of the endangered species list.
Why?
Well, it's a native plant that used to be here in great numbers, and there's so much that they bring to the quality of life, the health of the ecosystem, that we're not even aware of yet. We haven't even discovered yet. And the amount of prairie left, for example, on Whidbey Island is less than 1% of the original amount of prairie land. And so it serves vital ecosystem functions for people and wildlife that most people don't think of as they drive by. For example, we have Whidbey's aquifer right below us, and this is a key recharge zone. If the aquifer does not get recharged here on Whidbey Island, we would have more and more seawater intrusion from the coastal areas. and you don't want salt water coming out of your tap. And from Central Whidbey South, we're all on wells.
So how does the designation of the Salish Sea help connect you to community outside of these 175 acres?
I very much like the concept of the Salish Sea because it takes it from political boundaries to ecological realities. Words are important and concepts are important. The more we use that kind of concept, it helps people to slowly change their thinking. And the more we can think in those ecological terms and look at a region like Cascadia or the Salish Sea, it gets us more in line with thinking and discovering and asking questions about things in the context of the way the world works.
Robert Pellant, thank you so much for your work.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
You can see pictures of the restored prairie on our special project website, SalishSeaReturn.org. Next week, we go to the Eld Inlet near Olympia to visit with the owner of Chelsea Farms and hear about their efforts to bring back an endangered oyster.